Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new unrivaled league, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Lined to right to the corner. Fair by a foot. Marlins win. Kyle Stowers lines a single to the right field corner. Tanoha scores. Pirates hang their heads and get walked off in Miami. 5-4 Marlins win on opening day.
All right, I blame myself. Not for that game yesterday, but for Malzi not being here. He's now sick. He's under the weather. He's out of commission. So it'll be me for the next 4 hours, and then Dan Zangrilli will get you ready for another rousing and exciting, fun-packed game of Pirates baseball heard right here on the Pirates flagship station. 93.7 The Fan. I'm going to do something outside the box. This isn't really always smart. It's actually pretty dumb. I've got budgeted here and planned an entire hour, or almost an entire hour, without talking Steelers. I've got almost an hour of no Steelers talk budgeted here to start the show. And given what's going on with their quarterback visits and Aaron Rodgers, that's probably not the wisest thing. If my boss is listening, he's probably cringing hearing me say that. But I can't neglect or ignore what happened yesterday down in Miami, because I have a unique point on it, I think. I haven't heard anybody else say it. And I think it's what we should be talking about today. And the glorious thing about not having Malzi here and also having this very precious real estate, being able to do afternoons on this great station, is that I get to pick sometimes, especially when the boss is out and he's not in, I get to pick what we're going to talk about, and there's no pushback or no one saying, no, don't do that. And so that's where we're going to go to start. What happened in Miami, and what a loss like that means. It's one of 162, and so the Pirates apologists are already out saying those things. I picked 71 and 91, got a little bit of pushback on that yesterday. Had to deal with Jason Mackey and Dan Zangrilli off the air talking about 84 wins and trying to shoot sunshine and rainbows up my rear end. But I live in the real world, and I said 71 and 91, and by the end of the year, I think Derek Shelton is on the unemployment line, and I think Ben Cherington is panhandling for another job in Major League Baseball. That's how little I think of those two guys, which really shouldn't be surprising with Shelton, because the guy hasn't won diddly squat. Cherington, a little bit more surprising, because he does have a World Series ring on his finger from his days in Boston. And I think that's where my anger lies. And yes, I'm angry. I've lived here since 2010. My daughter is walking around our house yesterday in a Pirates shirt that I got her. And my wife's walking around in a $150 Pirates pullover or zip up. That's how expensive they are now, that I got her for Christmas. Okay, so we got all the Pirates paraphernalia and gear out to watch the game yesterday, and getting snookered back in and then watching them blow that game. The owner takes it on the chin all the time. And at 2:04, this is not me saying that I'm absolving the person who's at the very top of the organization when the organization fails, because the buck has to stop with the person at the top. So when Mike Tomlin does a bad job and the Steelers are mediocre and 9-8 and aren't winning playoff games, yes, we can get angry at Mike Tomlin, and we do, but it's ultimately Art Rooney who employs him and gives him the lifetime contract. So some of our venom should also be directed at him. Yes, we know the state of the Pirates' payroll. We know how inactive their offseason was, where they did practically nothing. And we know the payroll is at the same point, if not a tick lower than it was last year, which is completely unacceptable with Paul Skeens going into his first full year with the Pirates. But I don't want, hey, if you think that's what the conversation always needs to be about, and that's what you want to say or how you want to react to yesterday's game, the phone lines are open, 412-928-9370. Charlie Borges is back in Green Tree, and he's manning those controls right now. Yesterday's game was a matchup of a team in the Pirates who have double the payroll of the Marlins. So a game like yesterday is not about money. The conclusion that you draw from blowing that game should not be, well, here's skinflint Pirates, or here's frugal Pirates, or here's stingy Pirates. They double up the Marlins in spending. I love baseball. Other than seeing Jeff Conine's kid in the lineup and the Edwards guy who hits leadoff for the Marlins, who fantasy nerds know, there ain't another guy in their everyday lineup. You'd have to be a baseball savant. You'd have to say, I don't like having sex with people. I don't like kids. I don't like work. I don't like my job. I don't like going out and eating food. I don't like hanging out with friends to know everything about the Marlins. That's how big of a baseball geek you'd have to be to know their lineup. They spend $41 million on players. You think we're peeved off? The 9 fans they have, as evidenced by their attendance yesterday, goes to show you that nobody cares there. So this is one of the rare occurrences. There's like 3 or 4 teams that the Pirates play where they're actually the team that spends the money to get players. You can't cry poor when you play Miami. Which gets me to my overall point here. It is time. I've heard people say on this station a lot, I don't know how to judge Derek Shelton. I don't know what to say about him. Look at the lousy hand he was dealt. Or they say about Ben Cherington, I don't blame him. Look at the money he's had to work with in free agency. Guys, wake up. Get out of your Rip Van Winkle slumber that you're in. Both these guys blow. Both of them are absolutely terrible at their jobs. Shelton stinks and Cherington stinks. And yesterday is evidence A, exhibit A for that. Look at what they did. Look at what they do. Look at how that game was lost. You've got a guy at first base who's a catcher who did not play a game at first base in spring training until the very last day. That's how haphazard, that's how lousy their process was to decide that position. Every baseball team, every one of these analytics freaks who got Ivy League diplomas and Patriot League diplomas out their ass from schools like MIT and Yale will tell you until you're blue in the friggin' face how important process is. It's all about process. Sometimes we don't even care about results. Our process was sound. Your process here was that you didn't give a guy reps at first base until the very last day, then you throw him out there? What the hell is that? That ain't good process. That ain't putting a guy in position to succeed. You've got a utility man, an IKF, who's like out of the Sean Rodriguez central casting, jack of all trades baseball department of the baseball toy store. You've got IKF out there at short. He plays, that's his worst position. And he's your everyday shortstop. He threw a ball away, didn't get an error, but drew Rodriguez off the bag. That's what opened the door in the first inning where Paul Skeens gave up his first run of the year. So you've got a guy at shortstop playing every day there now. You take away his great trait, which is utility. You've got a catcher at first, which I would have been fine if Rodriguez, if they had said in, I don't know, early March, hey, all these other options suck out loud. Maybe we'll go with the young guy. Nope. Instead, they throw him out there to the Wolves the last day and then expect him to play first base flawlessly. You've got O'Neal Cruz. I can't believe it took me 9 minutes to get to this. What am I doing here? O'Neal Cruz in center field, clearly He either doesn't want to play out there and is doing it against his will and is like launching an active protest against the Pirates by playing the position like a 9-year-old boy who'd rather pick dandelions and the wedgie up his ass crack and eat sunflower seeds and chew gum than actually give a rat's ass about playing the position competently. He throws to the wrong base. He lets the ball go over his head in no doubles defense at the end of the game. He's got no clue. He either doesn't care or his baseball brain is the size of a peanut. And either way, you as an organization have to manage the player and evaluate the player and get the player to buy in and get the player to do the job effectively. And they haven't been able to do that. So he's out there either actively pouting in center field or he's a total space cadet out of the friggin' NASA program. You've got an inferior catcher. Your best defensive catcher is at first base. Your lesser of the two defensive catchers letting two pass balls happen. Well, you've no clue what you're doing with your bullpen. You don't tell people what their roles are. You just throw them out there scattershot. Holderman looks like the old Holderman from last year. Bednar looks like he's still completely lost and has zero confidence. You haven't imbued him with any kind of belief or anything like that to get the job done because you've got him again out there in the most high-pressure packed situations. Guys, the owner drops the ball. I understand that. It ticks you off. But when are we going to wake up here to the idea that the GM and the manager have no idea or no clue what they're doing? Remove the things on the plate of the GM that are the fault of the owner, like free agency. So don't judge Ben Cherington on free agency. Judge him instead on players that he's drafted and developed. Because that's not a financial thing. That's a decision on his part. When he spreads money around and takes Henry Davis one overall because he wants to draft Bubba Chandler later or make moves later in the draft, that's not Bob Nutting being cheap. That's the GM making that call. When he takes Nick Gonzalez in the first round, when he takes Henry Davis 1-1, go back and look at his trades. Joey Bart was a really good deal, at least it looks that way, because he didn't give up anything for him. Rodolfo Castro for Bailey Falter, pretty good. You traded a backup infielder for a decent left-handed starting pitcher. When you find another good one, let me know. In the 5+ years, going on 6 years he's been here. Yeah, I'm hacked off. Because you're really up you-know-what creek. When the owner doesn't give you every resource, and the people that are doing that job are incompetent. And that's what it feels like after watching them yesterday.